Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Signing day is officially over. Iowa has added 21 new commits and signees to its football team. And Sean Bach and myself, David Eichel for 24/7 Sports, are here to break it down. It was a very, very busy signing day. I know Sean put out a bunch of content. He's been covering this recruiting class for, what would you say, Sean? It was about 2.5, 3 years in the making-ish?
Yeah, I mean, going back to the 2021, summer of 2021, I was still in college then, going into my last semester at Iowa, taking a couple of summer classes. So, yeah, it's been in the works for a while. Obviously, getting guys like Cody Fox and Cam Buffington into the fold early and seeing what those guys developed into was pretty big for this Iowa staff. And then you get the two linebackers, Derek Wieskopf and Preston Reese, getting those guys later in the class when Iowa really wasn't their first offer, which is, you know, not a shock, but I mean, program like Iowa State was the first offer for Reese. Obviously, we know what they've done at the linebacker position in recent years. And then Wisconsin, Jim Leonard, was the first offer for Derek Wieskopf. And that's not something you see often in the state of Iowa. Usually with those Iowa kids, Iowa or, you know, even like Kansas State or Iowa State a lot is the first offer. But Wisconsin and Jim Leonard, who before obviously that whole staff went out at Wisconsin, was kind of known as one of the big names in college football from a defensive perspective. And sure, getting those guys in the class was big early. And then, like Tyler Barnes said, everything just, you know, kind of flowed after that. There wasn't a lot of big misses as we've seen in some other classes. I mean, noting Caden Proctor in the 2023 class and then a few others in 2022. But, I mean, outside of that, I mean, there really wasn't a lot of big misses in this class. And, I mean, we saw that in June with the hit rate they had on that official visit weekend. And then, you know, the official visit they had earlier in the year with Michael Burt. So
a good
class up and down, not a lot of holes there. I'm getting ready. I'm excited to talk about it.
It seems like a very high floor class, and it seems like a very above average Iowa class. And I mean that from the standpoint, like, I don't see a lot of non-contributors in this group. You know what I mean? Like, this is a very, very high floor class. I think they did an excellent job. I think the only real miss, and I think you wrote about this, Sean, was Jalen Todd at cornerback, who ended up going to Kansas. It looked like Iowa had the advantage for a while, but, you know, I give a lot of credit to Kansas for the perception of their program and what they've done over the past few years to kind of, you know, go from arguably the worst Power 5 team, at least bottom three, and turning it into a pretty respectable program down there in Lawrence. But Jalen Todd's probably the only one I can think of. And you're right. It seems like when you think about some of the Iowa in-state guys, Iowa's usually the first to sort of offer these guys and get out ahead of the curve, but they did not rush the process. I think they kind of trusted their evaluation. And I think a common thing that you've reported on, and, you know, I think it's been typical over the course of Ferentz's career, is Iowa's honest evaluation process when it comes to recruiting guys, when it comes to, you know, getting commitments. Say, you know, I think there's frequent contact there, despite maybe no offer being there immediately. And I think when you think about the Iowa culture and getting the right type of kids, or, you know, the players that typically go to Iowa, they respect the way Iowa goes through the process of that.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the prime example of that is Bodie McCaslin, who I went to his signing day earlier this week. And, you know, it's a different recruiting process. His dad was a staffer at University of Nebraska Omaha before their football program was disbanded, and was at Buffalo with Lance Leipold when he was there. And Kansas State were the first two offers for him. had a great relationship with the staff at Kansas, obviously. And then lot or his dad, Bodie's dad, Brad McCaslin, was also on the staff with a couple of Kansas State coaches. So there was obviously a big relationship factor there. And Iowa was involved early, but didn't offer and kind of just said, hey, look, here's what we want to see from you. We want to see you add 35, 40 pounds and see how you can move in the spring. And then we'll go from there. And Bodie did all that, and Iowa didn't have a lot of contact during that, time frame from when they told him that to when they got the offer. And they offered, and they were able to get the job done in the end. And I think that goes back to not only like the honest evaluation thing, but also just like I think a lot of people respect how Iowa does it with recruiting because they're not blowing up your phone all the time. And that's something that I think is valuable nowadays because you see a lot of these coaches, recruiting nonstop and, always talking to guys. And I mean, I was definitely in contact with a lot of these guys, but I think there's a certain type of kid that Iowa recruits that not a lot of programs, have kind of done or kind of do it the way Iowa does it. And there's a lot of respect there. I mean, some kids don't like it as we've seen in the past, but I think the way that Iowa goes about recruiting some of these kids and not being in contact all the time and understanding they got stuff to do but still managing to be there is pretty important. And that kind of goes back to the culture that Iowa has really established. And as Tyler Barnes said, they're pretty old fashioned with the way they do it. But I mean, hey, it's worked out well for them. 2022 class, we saw six guys burn their red shirts in their first year on campus. Number of guys worked their way into the rotation on offense and defense, special teams too. Drew Stevens was one of those guys. 2023 class, we didn't see a lot of early contributors, but I mean, John Nestor was playing on special teams. He had his red shirt burned. Zach Ortworth stepped up at tight end. When Luke Lachey and Eric All went down. And we've heard a lot of really good things, especially that offensive line group and quarterback Marco Lines, about the progress that they've made in their first year and how they've been able to adjust. So I mean it, in this 2024 class too, like you said, just a lot of high floor guys that you could potentially see competing in due time in Iowa City. And I think that's really important because I mean you look at these last couple of recruiting classes. None of these guys on the list you can really point out and say, okay, this guy's going to be a miss. Or like, I'm not too sure about this guy. I'm not too sure about their evaluation. I'm not too sure how they can fit in. It feels like those last three recruiting classes, there are a lot less of those types of guys. And honestly, like in the last two, especially, like I don't really see any of those. And I think that goes to show, kind of just how Iowa has been able to stack this roster and continue to, get these guys in the fold and, sell them on what Iowa wants to do from a development standpoint. I mean, not a lot of immediate impact guys, but looking at next year's roster, how many do you really need of those?
And that was the case with last year too. I mean, with the class that you had mentioned, like there are still guys that probably could have played maybe a little bit, but you always take the returning experience guys that have kind of been through the process of it. So the fact that they weren't immediately, contributing, it should not be an indictment on them this early. And we're gonna see what happens. I mean, obviously there's still plenty of decisions for, guys to make. I mean, you think about guys like Jay Higgins, you think about Cooper DeJean still has not made a decision. YA Black has not publicly announced what he's going to do. Luke Lachey, Eric All. And, let's start on the offensive end. Speaking of Luke Lachey and Eric All, I mean, let's go with the tight ends. I think if there's a couple positions I really don't question Iowa on, Sean, it's defensive back and tight end, just because the level of success that they've had. Gavin Hoffman, I really, really believe could be an impact player. Maybe not next year, but him being an early enrollee in January. 6'5", 220 pounds, athletic freak. Don't look at his numbers and kind of roll your eyes. Like, this is a very high ceiling caliber guy. I don't want to say he's like a TJ Hawkinson or Noah Fant or, George Kittle or whatever, but this is a guy that could potentially have an NFL future. And you look at the way the room could look next year, Stylianos is gone. We're going to see what happens with Luke Lachey. We're going to see what happens with Eric All. But Gavin Hoffman getting on campus early, being able to go through the winter workouts, I think is going to be huge. I'm very high on him. And another guy too, Michael Burt, as you mentioned, I mean, 6'6", 235 pounder, excellent blocker. Creighton Prep runs a lot. It's a very run heavy offense. It used to be more of a powerhouse in Nebraska high school football than it has been in the past couple of years, but they have a really, really good program still there now. But, you know, Michael Burt's a guy where, you know, I want to see more from him as far as, you know, catching the ball and doing some more things athletically. But you talk about a very fundamentally sound player that really fits into the culture with what Iowa likes to do. And just in terms of who he is as a person, who he is as a football player, I think he's going to seamlessly transition into that room. But I really, really like this tight end class that Abdul Hodge is going to have in the future. It's just, it definitely has a lot of upside, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you see kind of the trends that these tight ends have during their recruitment. I mean, Hoffman had Iowa was a little bit later to the game, but they were pretty involved in the spring. And after the Iowa offer came in, you see a number of SEC schools that come in. Michael Burt, this is like the prime example of that. He picked up, or Iowa saw him at the Lindenwood camp down in St. Louis, invite him up for a camp, offered him, and then you see Nebraska, Illinois, Minnesota offer in a matter of hours. So that goes to show the tight end evaluation success at Iowa, because once these guys got this offer from Iowa, then you see more of these schools start to really get involved. And Hoffman had a few Power Five offers before Iowa, but you saw those SEC schools start to come in, and
yeah,
you mentioned it. I mean, the big thing with Hoffman was one of the knocks on him was, you know, how much weight can he put on? How much weight can he play at and still be effective? Because really good receiver, can get behind the safeties, pretty good blocker too, pretty physical player. But just like how much weight can he really put on and be effective? So that's one of the big knocks on him, why his recruitment got kickstarted a little bit later. And then with Bird, it's like, you know, Creighton Prep, like you said, is a pretty run heavy offense, and not a lot of people really saw him go deep or go long or whatever. And, you know, at this camp, at the camps, I was able to see him move around, and we're really impressed by him. And, you know, I think he's going to have a frame where he's going to be able to add on more weight. I think he's around 6'6", 230 right now. And seeing him in person, he's got a pretty skinny frame, and it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how Iowa can kind of do with that, because, you know, he can be a dual threat guy for Iowa, potentially play in line, potentially play out wide. I mean, Iowa's stacking guys in the tight end room. We saw what Addison Estrenga has done the past few years, especially this past season. Zach Ortwer showed plenty of promise. Cale Vanderbush and Grant Leaper are two more developmentary guys.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and potentially what they could add in the 2025 class with Luka Gilbert, Thomas Meyer, you know, this tight end room is going to be in good shape for a while. And, you know, that's one position group, like you said, you never want to doubt Iowa on, because they're going to find guys to get in there, and they're going to find a way to stack that room. And, you know, as they keep having success, then it's just going to continue for them.
Let's dive into the quarterback of the class, James Rosar. I know you've spent plenty of time talking to him. You've actually, I believe you interviewed him in person for 45 minutes last January. It was last January, correct?
Yeah. Late, like probably late December. Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I think it was the new year. But this is a guy where if you talk about the best athlete that Iowa's had at quarterback, I'd have to go back quite a ways. Like CJ Beathard was a good athlete, but he wasn't kind of a breakaway guy. He can maneuver well in the pocket. He could extend some plays. Like Rosar is an athlete right now playing quarterback, but when you're Iowa, I really don't see that as a bad thing. I mean, Tyler Barnes and the staff believe he can get down to a 10-5 in track season this year, about 6'4", about 210 pounds. You throw on another 15 pounds on him, and if he can keep that sort of speed, that's going to be big. I think his passing mechanics still, his quarterback mechanics still need a little bit of polishing up. But, you know, for all the people clamoring for Iowa to add some more, like some sort of athleticism to that quarterback room, they addressed it, I believe, Sean. I think, you know, you look at this year, you look at next year with Jimmy Sullivan, who's already committed in that 2025 class. This is where I give Iowa credit. Now we need to see how they're going to implement them in the system and if they can break through and become starters or see action, et cetera. But there's going to be some more athleticism in that room. And are they going to, you know, cater the playbook toward the quarterback's strengths? Or are they just going to kind of say, all right, you're going to stay in the pocket. We're going to run the same old, same old. Because if you look at Rezar and his skill set, there's a lot of different things Iowa's offense can do while still like remaining true to its identity. And I think that's going to be a big, big test for Kirk Ferentz and for whoever the next offensive coordinator is.
Yeah, I mean, Rezar, you don't see that speed. But a big reason why a lot of those schools kind of didn't offer him was that passing, you know, his mechanics, and obviously he's got kind of a longer release, not necessarily a power passer, a guy that can, you know, throw for high velocity or, you know, kind of got some zip on the ball like you see with some of these quarterbacks. But, you know, he's a decent accuracy. Obviously his mobility is a big part of his game. And, you know, I think the big reason why we didn't see Iowa's offense really grow or really progress was because they haven't had a quarterback that can make plays outside the pocket or really move around. Kay McNamara is obviously more mobile than Iowa has had in the past quarterback wise since CJ Beathard, but you know, he was playing on one leg this year, or felt like it at times. Yeah. Obviously still bothered by that injury throughout the year. So yeah, I mean, adding Rezar is definitely a different change of pace, but as we said, I mean, he's more raw as a passer than some of these guys like Deacon Hill or Marco Linez, or even Cade. I mean, Cade was probably the most polished passer coming out of high school. So it's going to be interesting in a couple of years what happens at the quarterback position. Obviously, Cade has one more season. Deacon Hill has two more. Marco has four, and then James will redshirt this year. And that 2025 quarterback battle, I mean, I'm very intrigued to see what happens there. I don't think Rezar is going to be completely ready for it yet, but how much of a shot does Iowa give Marco Linez if he can continue to stay on this level of development that he is, or on this path of development that he has had? And similar to Deacon Hill, I mean, Deacon showed promise throughout the year, but you know, is Iowa going to value game experience more than they will, you know, potentially talent? So that's going to be an interesting dynamic in the next few years. I don't think Rezar is going to be part of that. I mean, they'll throw his name into the mix, but I think maybe 2026 is when we really start to see his name emerge as a potential starting spot. And, you know, like you said, I mean, just so much talent from an athletic standpoint, and that aspect is very impressive. I mean, remember he had coaches from Georgia and Clemson come to watch him throw too. And while Jacksonville is kind of a hotbed for recruiting too, with a couple of those Florida schools and the talent that they have down there, I know there were a couple of programs that produced some Power Five guys this year, some 4-star guys. So they were kind of just down there to see what's what. But I mean, he had some big schools that were looking at him for a bit. And I think that athleticism is something that really has to be brought up when mentioning him, because he brings that different dynamic that Iowa has not had. But we know how much of being an accurate passer goes into Iowa's offense, because that's something that has really lacked the last couple of years. And you got to have an arm on you too. And Rezar's got potential to have an arm. I mean, once he gets more weight on his frame, he can potentially sling a little bit more. But you know, mechanics and quarterback development, man, like, that's something that Iowa, I think, you know, hasn't had the last couple of years. And, you know, with these guys in the room, there's a lot more potential, I think, with their mobility. But, you know, how can they kind of grow from a thrower standpoint and just being those kind of traditional quarterbacks while also, you know, being able to run the football and make the offense more dynamic with their mobility?
And I think that's why the new quarterback coach is going to be so important in the new offensive coordinator, because reminder, Brian Ferentz wasn't just the offensive coordinator. He was the quarterback's coach. So who's going to slide in there, a quarterback's coach, to be in charge of developing these guys, to be in charge of developing Marco Linez, you know, James Rezar, Jimmy Sullivan when he gets on campus, Deacon Hill. So I'm very, very curious about that. But speaking of athleticism, let's flip over to the defense. Right. I mean, really quick, because this linebacker group, I'm excited, Sean. Like, these guys are all within 60 miles of Iowa City. But this, like, people might roll their eyes, and, you know, the outsiders might roll their eyes when they think about, oh, it's a small town, Iowa guys going to Iowa. You know, they're not going to be anything special. This is a very high ceiling, dangerous linebacker group. I mean, Preston Reese, was absolutely tremendous. I believe he's the state's all-time leading passer now. Sean, can you confirm that?
Yeah, I think pass and rushing yards is what he combined is what he leads the state in.
Yeah, so he has that. And then I am a huge advocate for Cam Buffington. I know we played A-man football, Winfield Mountain Union, but man, he is an absolute athletic freak. He has such a high ceiling. I'm really excited for him to get on campus and to really watch the way he develops. I mean, you talk about Mr. Versatility, Mr. Kind of can do everything. Buffington fits that mold. And then Williamsburg, Derek Weisskopf, 6'3". I believe he's up to 205, 210 pounds now. But that's another freak athlete, top 247 guy, 197th by overall by 24/7 Sports. Like, I think they were three of the earliest commits in this class, but Iowa did not need to go outside the state to land some dynamic linebackers. And, you know, I think it's going to be very interesting to see how this linebacker room looks next year because we're still waiting on word from Sebastian Castro, who plays Cash. We're waiting on Jay Higgins, Nick Jackson. You know, could potentially come back if he gets a waiver from the NCAA. But you're adding these guys into, I think, a very good and very competitive linebacker group. But Sean, the linebacker room, if Jay Higgins and Nick Jackson and Sebastian Castro leave, in my opinion, it's going to be a pretty wide open competition of who's going to be the starting guys. And I think it's a lot to ask for a true freshman to get a shot starting. I don't think they will, but the opportunity for them to be able to prove themselves is going to be there. And that's something that I'm really, really intrigued about just to see how this sort of all shakes out.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure if, I mean, Kyler Fisher appears to be coming back, so that's a good sign. But if Iowa loses both Higgins and Jackson, then I think you might have to look for at the portal for another linebacker take on that starting spot. And Iowa has a really strong sell for that. But going back to these freshmen, I mean, it was pretty nice during their recruitments. I mean, their recruitments didn't last very long in terms of when they started getting offers to when they committed to Iowa. But just to see these guys within a pretty close radius to Iowa City was pretty ideal for me, because usually, or in past cycles, I've had to go all the way out to Des Moines or even like Council Bluffs, Western Iowa, places like that. So having these guys close was ideal. And, you know, they're all just super athletic. I mean, they're super athletic, pretty raw from a linebacker's perspective. I think Buffington might be the most polished of them, but I mean, you look at Reese. I mean, that quarterback linebacker type of deal that he has is really good for him, to gonna help him progress. And he'll have to add more on the frame, but I mean, he's probably the sleeper of this class. Has been Duncan since he was in eighth grade, and he was around 6 foot. So he's kind of one of those high floor, hard nosed types kids who are gonna come in and compete. And Buffington, I mean, I think he ran the 40-yard dash at 4.8, 4.9, and 4.5 this year. Let me get my decimals down. 4.48, 4.49, and 4.5 this year at Iowa's camp at 6'2", 223 pounds. And I think he had a really good broad jump too. And that kind of tells you all I need to know about his athleticism and his production. I know it's the 8-man level, but his production at running back and linebacker and just the way he was able to be around the football reminded me a bit of Jack Campbell when we saw him back when we first started doing this, Dave.
Yeah.
Just his sideline to sideline ability. And while the 8-man field's smaller, you know, his ability to just be around the football and, you know, move side to side was really impressive. And I think is going to potentially get him on the field on special teams and then could potentially compete for a spot at the linebacker position in year two or three. And then Weisskopf was probably the most technically sound line or player overall this group. Never played linebacker at Williamsburg, played safety and wide receiver, and then had to play quarterback this year when Williams quarterback was down, and, you know, helped lead Williamsburg to a state championship in class 3A, I believe. Yeah, class 3A. So, I mean, all these guys, I mean, all three of them are really good basketball players. Restarted his basketball career AAU with the Iowa Barnstormers, one of the premier programs in the state. Weisskopf was dunking on guys on Martin Bros, just like Cooper DeJean was a couple years ago. And the thing with Weisskopf too is he's probably one of the more reliable tacklers I've seen. His open field tackling and the ability to bring guys down is super impressive. And the way he has experience and coverage too, I think is really going to benefit him at Iowa. And I think he's honestly the perfect spot for that Leo position. But Iowa really has an estate. Iowa's going to teach them all three linebacker spots and go from there. But I'm really intrigued to see how these guys kind of fit the next couple of years with the linebackers they already have in the fold. I mean,
yeah.
Ben Keeter, Kirk Ferentz mentioned him. He's going to get a lot of run during bowl prep because Jay Higgins is out, or Jay Higgins is kind of resting up because, you know, the wear and tear that this season has had on him and how much he's had to play. So Keeter is going to get more snaps. And, you know, we all saw what he could do in high school and his athleticism, the wrestling background, everything like that. There's been a lot of positive reviews about him. Aiden Hall is another guy who could be kind of that hybrid Leo type of guy too as a true freshman. And we haven't seen a ton from Landon Van Kieckerks and Jaden Montgomery, the two sophomores. They'll be redshirt sophomores next year, third year on campus because they've been injured. But Iowa was really high on Landon Van Kieckerks especially. So it'll be fascinating to see how these guys kind of work in the coming years because – you know, there's a decent amount of, you know, production and talent in this room. But there's also a lot of questions of like what can this room look like in the next few years and who kind of takes what spot. I mean, I'm betting on these three guys that they have coming in this class to really make an impact in due time. I mean, special teams seems like the most ideal fit right now in their first year. But like I said, with some of the other guys, I mean, who knows what could happen 2025, 2026. I mean, if I had to bet on one, I think it might be Buffington seeing the field early, not as a true freshman,
yeah.
But, you know, potentially in his second or third year. And then it's kind of fair game from there to kind of see how this linebacker room shapes up because, I mean, all three of them could really compete on the field together, you know, later on in their career and, you know, potentially make a really good name for themselves on special teams too. So, I mean, just athleticism, man. There's just so much athleticism that they have added in the last two cycles in that linebacker room. Didn't need to make a lot of noise in 2023, but you land Keeter, who is a world champion wrestler, 4-star guy. Aiden Hall was running, you know, sub-11, 100-meter dashes before he got hurt at a pretty good size. So there's just so much athleticism to add. Plus, you bring in Burke Gotcher next year. And, you know, it just seems like the overall athleticism in this room is getting better and better. And, you know, that's a pretty big statement to make, especially when you consider Iowa's linebacker success in the last couple of years.
Yeah. And speaking of which, like you said, I love this linebacker group. It's a very tough call for me where Iowa really hit a grand slam as far as position goes or who had the best position group in this class, because I think you can make an argument for tight end. I think you can make an argument for linebackers. I think you can make an argument for offensive and defensive line, quite frankly, Sean. I think they've done a really, really good job with this. But kind of going off that too, a question I've kind of posed just for fun that I've been really thinking about, and I still don't know what I would say, but what would you say Iowa did a better job in, the offensive or defensive line? Because it to me, it just seems so hand in hand. I think, you know, George Barnett did a great job in this. I think Kelvin Bell and Jay Neiman are both extremely happy. And there's a lot of different sort of talents in each of those groups. But I may give the slight edge to the defensive line simply because I love the versatility of it. I love Shime Shinike from Plano, Texas. I think he has a very high upside. I think he could be a really good defensive tackle. But then you look at guys who are still relatively new to football. Right, like Devin Kennedy, I think is going to be really, really good as well. But this is only his second real season playing football. I think about, you know, I think about Joseph Anderson. I think he has a high ceiling as well. Like, what would you say, offensive or defensive line? Because I truly can't pick, but if I had to, I give the slightest edge to the defensive line.
Yeah, I mean, these, before I kind of give my pick on that, these were two of the positions that I think were really important for Iowa to hit on in this cycle. Because you look at the scholarship chart, I mean, Iowa could lose five of their top offensive linemen on next year's team after next year. And then there's always a chance that maybe Jennings Dunker, if he has a really good year, could go pro. And then after that, it's kind of like, you know, what are we dealing with? Because there's a lot of, I mean, a couple guys still have 2 years left going into this year or going into 2024. But, you know, they got to start getting that next wave of guys in there too. And we saw with the 2023 class, heard a lot of positive things about them. But you got to get more than four guys or four or five guys. And I think this 2024 offensive line class can gel in really well with that 2023 class. And it's the same thing with the 2024 class. I mean, for the defensive line, assuming that, you know, Deontay Craig is gone after next year. Ethan Herkett could be gone after next year, though he has another year of eligibility remaining. Yahweh Black potentially be gone next year. Obviously, he hasn't made official if he's going to return, but it's for 2024, but it's likely that he does. Aaron Graves could potentially go the draft after his junior season. And then it's kind of like you have guys that were in the rotation this year, but you don't have a lot of proven commodities. And I think with this defensive line class, you have a guy like Drew Campbell, different player from Jack Campbell, much different player, much different position, but just a different style of player. Really good athlete still, not as twitchy as Jack was, but, you know, kind of has a way of being around the football. And you know, it's kind of just one of those solid, potentially weak side defensive line or defensive edge guys. Really good with the hands, you know, has an array of moves on the defensive line, can get to the passer, put up really good numbers this year in class 5A at Cedar Falls. He's the guy that's potentially going to be, you know, an impact player his third or fourth year. Shima Shinike, I mean, you can't teach that size. Like, yeah. He is very long, very lengthy. Iowa kind of sees him more as an edge right now, but I think he could be, you know, one of those guys that potentially plays a defensive tackle depending on the package, those third down type packages where they want to get to the passer. Devin Kennedy looks like a true defensive tackle to me, a guy that, like I said, I mean, NFL bloodlines. I mean, three of the four guys in Iowa's defensive line class in 2024 come from an NFL, have a family member who is or was an NFL player with Campbell, Kennedy, and Joseph Anderson. And those are some of the things that, you know, a lot of evaluators and a lot of coaches really look for, because more often than not, like, those bloodlines play a big impact or major factor, you know, how these players kind of develop and can kind of grow. So, I mean, offensive line, I think I would give the nod to defensive line maybe. I mean, Joseph Anderson, his senior year film was, he's still pretty raw, but man, like, he is impressive. Get a little more size on him and he could be a freak on the edge. So that's tough. That's really a tough question to answer, because I think both,
it's
of them
almost like you talk
lot.
Yourself into it at one point and then you talk yourself out of it, right? And you're just going back and forth. That's literally what I just did too. And every time I kind of compare the classes, I lean one way one minute and then I lean back the other way the next minute.
Right. Like a guy like Will Nolan on the offensive line, I could potentially see, maybe on the two deeps in his second year. Cody Fox, I mean, the interior is pretty heavy in the next couple of years, but I think he can work his way in there. Bodie McCaslin, I mean, he comes from a family of athletes. I mean, his brother plays at North Dakota State. His sister played at Mississippi State soccer. Really good family of athletes. So, I mean, there's just not a lot of guys like I'd look at him and say, I don't think, they're potentially going to see, the field in their career. It's like I see guys that are more so, okay, I could see potentially these guys coming in the mix like their second or third year. No, I'm not saying all those guys are going to be. I think it's going to be less than more. But, these guys just find a way of coming into the rotation, especially. But I don't know, man. Yeah, that's a tough question. Like, I think I would lean defensive line like a little bit more, but offensive line, like, I think we've heard more about this offensive line group with the freshman class this past year than we've heard about the freshman class on the defensive line this year's group. So I'm going to lean defensive line a little bit, though I think the defensive line's going to need a little bit more time than the offensive line to fully develop and fully, reach that potential.
No, I think that's a good point too. And I also look at this, Sean. I mean, we've been hearing so much about the 2023 class and like the true freshman class and how great they've been on the scout team. Like George Barnett and Kirk and company are very confident in the players that they have in that class. So I think that's gonna be pretty valuable. But Sean, you know what? I'm thinking about this. We've been going at this for a little while, but we still haven't even touched on the wide receivers or running backs. So I'm thinking we should split this into two parts. We're going to dive more into the skill position players next Swarmcast, which will come out relatively soon. But, with KJ Parker, with Brevin Dahl, with Xavier Williams at running back, like there's still so many other things we need to talk about, including the superlatives. But this is a good starting point, for people to kind of get introduced to this 2024 class. There are 7 four-star commits by 24/7 Sports. Sean wrote a bunch of content about it. We're gonna have still more content to come with some of the new players. I'll have a column here probably in the next couple of days about my overall thoughts about the class. So stay tuned to HawkeyeInsider.com for that. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at David Eichel, at SBOC247, at Hawkeyes on 247, and get 60% off an annual subscription to Hawkeye Insider. That's going to be going for another couple of days, and really get access to the most in-depth and insider information about Iowa athletics. With the transfer portal still being a thing right now, Iowa's still searching for its offensive coordinator. The bowl game coming up, we got plenty of stuff ahead, so stay locked in to HawkeyeInsider.com.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.